Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Postcast after the Jazz defeat the LA Clippers 114-108. Great win tonight for the Jazz. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And Ron, mammoth win for this team. Incredible shooting. There's a million things to talk about. But the big picture for a second before we get into it. The Jazz had to win tonight if they had any hope of holding on to the fourth spot in the Western Conference. It is not done yet. It's a great momentum win to head out on the road. There's a lot of the Jazz schedule is much more difficult. The Clippers only play two more games the rest of the way in which they play a above 500 team on the road. So they have a lot of wins coming their direction, and we'll probably have to go down there to win. But if you were had a chance, you had to win tonight, and to do it in the way they did it maybe is more impressive, and that is they got it handed to them early. 10-2 run by the Clippers. They made a run. The Clippers made another run to take the lead at the end of one by the score of 28-23. The Clippers really dominated most of that second quarter. Chris Paul was killing George Hill. The Jazz fought back. They got it to 63 all. And then the Clippers go on a 9-0 run, and you're like, oh, well. And I remember we went to break at that point. I said, hey, thanks for letting me ride. I thought that was the sequence of the game. I just didn't know we had another surge in us to dominate the game. And really, if you start thinking about that, from the 60, the Jazz were down 72-63, and from that moment on, they outscored the Clippers 51 to about 40 to win this game. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
You know, as hot as they were, as hot as Chris Paul was, and the way they were getting it done. Now, I didn't feel this, but I thought the Jazz was going to have to play very, very well in order to beat them, because I just thought that they were scoring very easy. They still only led the Jazz by 9 for the most part, you know, throughout the basketball game. But then that third quarter comes, and the Jazz get 40 points in that quarter. They end up making, what were they, 6-for-6 from the three-point line. They made 13 of 17 from the field. They get 40 points out of that quarter, and they even got to the fifth. They just outplayed them in that quarter. Now you can feel that, okay, the momentum is shifting. George Hill started to get engaged, get into the basketball game. And when you make big shots, meaning when there's a team on a run and they get a three-point play, you go down and make a three-point play yourself, whether it's the old-fashioned way with an and-one or if it's a three-point shot. You answer, then that's when you feel like we got it going.
Probably shouldn't tell him I'm going to do this because I wouldn't want Big T to get a big head or anything. But Big T had a great point when he came on with us in the third quarter. He said, you know, when you're in a home game, you go on a run, and you feel like you're just going to run away with it. It feels like we're a road team today, because every time we go on a run, they make a play. And so that's where I'm most impressed with the Jazz tonight, is the amount of runs that they made, because they kept making it, and the Clippers kept stopping it, and then they made another, and the Clippers stopped it, and the Jazz finally broke through.
Yeah, that was huge, and a great way of putting it there for Big T, and I think we compliment him on that, because it did feel that way once you start to look at what he's saying, and you start to reverse that. I mean, it just says a lot for a team that answers and continue to execute and to be physical, you know, and you know, get a technical foul, push someone, you know, and you don't condone anyone throwing elbows and catching guys in the face or anything like that. But you want to not get pushed around.
And the Clippers were trying to punk the Jazz again today.
That's what Quinn Snyder said this morning. He did not like the way the Jazz responded to the way the Clippers played them the last time these two teams met. Even though it was, the 88-77 game, very low-scoring ball game, he just thought they did not respond to the way that they were getting pushed around.
What did you see that changed? I mean, the easy ones, the Jazz hit 9 straight threes. So did they just start hitting shots, or did something else change in this game?
I think, you know, I always thought that when you start making shots and you start getting on a run and being able to push the ball up the floor, and there was a couple of huge shots that the Jazz made. The one you said to seal the golf ball game there with Joe Johnson. Now, that wasn't necessarily a play that you expected to make. But when you have the momentum, you have the crowd behind you, you're feeling that those are the type of shots that end up falling for you, you know. And, boy, get 40 points in that third period. You end up coming back with outscoring them 25-22 in the fourth. Who wanted the ball game the worst?
Jazz. Few things of note here tonight. The Clippers in that third quarter, when Chris Paul goes out, the Jazz were plus 12. That's really when they finally made their run. Got a big enough lead. You've got to take advantage of those moments. Dante Exum was a large part of that. He played really well tonight. They tried to have his minutes not match Chris Paul. He actually played so well, he let him ride a little bit against Chris Paul. But that was a nice sequence from Dante coming off his career highest scoring outing against Oklahoma City.
Yeah, what do you get? 14 minutes tonight, and I just thought that Quinn, like he did against Oklahoma City, he felt that he had a combination out there on the floor that was working. Even though Dante was playing well, he had a combination out there on the floor. He knew the importance of this ball game this morning.
Oh, gosh, was he something else today?
He was really something else. Like, he was up all night watching film, and he wanted to make sure that all the players were just as engaged in this game as he was.
8 points tonight for Blake Griffin. What did the Jazz do to him?
Well, you know, first of all, they knew that they wanted to go down and dig it out on him. You know, usually Blake, he gets hot because he's playing with his back to the basket, and then he makes a couple of jump shots or something like that. Tonight, I just thought that Joe Johnson was probably his biggest problem. Even though, Joe gets burned defensively a lot because he's an undersized four guy, they just kept Blake from getting in that shooting zone where he kept the ball out of his hands for the most part. And I thought it was brilliant to go down and double and try to strip the basketball, force him to make passes. He doesn't pass the basketball that often. He's an offensive player.
Well, that pass at the corner by Joe Johnson was – oh, you're talking about Blake there or Joe Johnson?
Yeah.
Blake doesn't pass a lot, but sorry, you just reminded me of the incredible pass also by Joe Johnson late. I want to signal out the numbers lie tonight. Joe Ingles is minus 12 tonight. That is not accurate. Joe Ingles was brilliant. Really, really important to the Jazz tonight.
It was brilliant. 6-for-9 in 26 minutes, 3-for-4 from the three-point line. But and that may have been because of his defense. You know, he picks up some fouls trying to, and he was getting upset, you know, with picking up some, you know, some cheap fouls.
Overall, this game, though, I mean, I was it. Big for us, but I felt like it was big for the Clippers, too.
Well, you heard George Hill say this was like a playoff game, and they treated it that way. Even though the Chris Paul comes out hot, they hung in there, they stayed in there, forced the Clippers to make, you know, when they made some substitutions, meaning the Jazz subs play a little bit better than the Clippers subs. And what did that do to their biggest score coming off the bench? Jamal Crawford, 11 points. He only played 16 minutes. You know, what a game.
Great energy. Crowd was fabulous. Huge win for the Jazz. Still a long way to go. But that's a huge win, and actually maybe the most important part of wins like that is it may – I haven't looked at it really, but it may be keeping the Jazz out of 6 or 7. Like, it really – you know, you get a few more wins, and it's going to be too hard for the for Memphis and Oklahoma City to come get you, so you may end up playing this team in the playoffs. And then the question is whether you can go get home court. So we may just go match up with them again here in a few weeks in L.A. after we come home for our road trip. But off to the road we go, 4 on the East Coast. See if the Jazz can go get a few against Eastern Conference playoff teams and hold to 4th in the West. They currently lead it by 2 games in the Western Conference for home court in the first round. Great win tonight. Gordon Hayward, 25, 19 for George Hill, 18 for Joe Ingles. Rudy Gobert, another double-double, and a crowd performance that was fabulous. Jazz win it over the Clippers. This has been Postcast. Empty the Noggin, Jazz Game Rewind. If you want a little more, all available for you at 1280thezone.com. Have a great night. Jazz win it. This has been part of the Locked On Podcast Network.